Chapter 11, and I want to talk to you about 1 Corinthians 11 for just a few moments, and we'll move a little quicker today than normal, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, he's dealing with the issue of the Lord's Supper within the Corinthian church. The book of 1 Corinthians is the first letter that Paul wrote. It's the first letter that was written in the New Testament, and so they're the first ones to receive some of this information. Matthew was the first gospel written about AD 55, and 1 Corinthians was written about the same time. And so these churches, they're growing. This is less than 20 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, and they're still learning and growing, and they're doing all of this without the advantage of the scriptures that we have. And the Corinthian church came from such a diverse background, a lot of paganism in their past, a lot of bad, broken stuff in their past. And as they're coming together as a church and working through and struggling through all of the problems that they had, Paul wrote at least four letters that we know of to them, and two of them we have, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, he's dealing with a lot of the problems that they have, and he gets to chapter 11. When he gets to chapter 11, he says this. He says, now, in giving these instructions, talking about the ones to follow, he's changed subjects here, and he says, I do not praise you, since you come... Excuse me. Pardon me. He says, since you come together for not for the better, but for the worst. Your gatherings as a church has not been for good reasons. Your gathering as a church has not been good at all. And so I'm giving these instructions, but this is not to praise you. And he continues. He says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of the others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. The church at Corinth had gotten so divided that they were just filled with problems. And this division was just not God's way of doing things. And as we've been praying for the last 30 days for the month of July for God to lead us forward, we want to go forward in unity. And we've been a unified church. This is not, oh, we got to get right with God type of thing. This is a preventive maintenance type thing where God is blessing and we're moving forward. But we need to continue to move forward under the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And unity is not everybody having the same opinion. Unity is everybody going in the same direction. And Paul is writing to them. He says, when you come together for the Lord's Supper, it is not a good thing. Because number one, you are divided. And I saw four things in here that was a problem or causes of these divisions. And the first one I saw was in verse 19, that there was a group of attention seekers within the church. They were wanting to get pats on the back from people. They were wanting to be up on stage so people would look at them and tell them how great they are. They were seeking the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And Jesus, remember when he saw the Pharisees standing on the street corners and they have their hands up and they're praying out loud so everybody could hear them? And he tells his apostles, he goes, look, they're doing all that to get the attention of man. And then he says, they got their reward. But it caused divisions. And in the Corinthian church, there was these attention seekers, people who were in it for themselves. They wanted the applause. They wanted people to look at them and say, you're doing a great and wonderful job. And we should tell people they're doing a good job when they are. But we should never serve the church. We should never serve the kingdom of God for the attention and the approval of mankind. Because when we do, it starts to cause divisions. The second thing I saw here was selfishness and pride. There were people coming in, and they were bringing in lots of food. And they were eating their big portions of food because there's rich people in the church and there were poor people in the church. There were people from all walks of life, and rich people would come in with large basketfuls of food and they would sit down and they would go to get their food early and they would eat their food. And meanwhile, over here was the poor family. And maybe all they had was bread and water. They didn't have a lot. And yet the people over here weren't willing to share with others within the church. They were thinking only about themselves, and they were thinking that they were better than other people. And this pride and selfishness, it caused divisions in the church. And then the third thing, it created an atmosphere of elitism, that I'm better than you. I've got more money, so I'm better than you. Or I can sing better, so I'm better than you. Or I can do this better, so I am better than you. And elitism caused the division in the church. But the truth of the matter is, in the church of Jesus Christ, there is no rich and poor. Paul tells us there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no Gentile, there's no black, there's no white, there's no Hispanic. No one with lots of money, no with little money. Because we are all sinners saved by grace. Amen. No one in this church is better than anybody else, because we are all dependent upon Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Amen. None of us are worthy. It is only Jesus who is worthy. Amen. And if we come into the church like the Corinthians did with this air of some people are better than others, it causes division. And then the fourth thing, that Jesus in His crucifixion was no longer the focus of the Lord's Supper. The whole point of coming together for the Lord's Supper was to remind us about the cross. And when we stop and think about the cross and what Jesus did, it ought to drive us to our knees in thanks and in praise and in humility, because we are not worthy. And when we lose focus of the purpose of the Lord's Supper, and we lose focus of the cross, and we lose focus of what Jesus did for us, then we begin to think, well, maybe the church is growing because I'm doing something really good here. And what happens? The pride, the selfishness, the elitism, the attention-seeking, all of that begins to creep in, and it can creep in so slowly that you don't even notice it at first. And all of that was coming into the Corinthian church and causing divisions. And Paul said, this is the wrong way to do it, and God is not happy with your participation in the Lord's Supper because you're a divided church. Well, then he continues, and this is the section that gets read most often during the Lord's Supper, when we partake of the wine or the grapefruit and the bread and all of the things. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. In other words, Jesus had already told Paul this once before when he was in Damascus, right after he was first saved. And he says, I've already delivered this to you once. I've written to you about it once before. And he says this, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So if divisions in the church were causing problems at the Lord's Supper, what is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Paul tells us the first one is it's a time to remember. It is a time where we stop and we focus on Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, His broken body and His shed blood. And we take time to remember what that means for me personally, what it means for you personally, what it means for us as a church. And how often we do the Lord's Supper, that's kind of left up to individual churches. Paul doesn't give the mechanics of it has to be done this way or that way or this often. We do it on the fifth Sunday of the month when we have a fifth Sunday. That's how we do it here. We may change it in the future. I don't know. But whatever and however you do it, the purpose is, first off, you need to remember. And you need to think about the crucifixion. The second reason is you need to teach. The Lord's Supper is a perfect opportunity to teach the gospel. For the younger generations that maybe have not heard before, or maybe for a new person who hasn't ever been to church before. And there's more and more people in our culture that have never even been to church. And it's an opportunity to teach about the body of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus, who was in heaven, left His throne, came to the earth, born of a virgin, born as a little baby, God Himself was in a body, lived a perfect, sinless life in this world. And then He willingly went to the cross, where His body was beaten, it was battered, it was bruised, He was whipped with a whip. He was unrecognizable hanging on the cross. And His battered body paid the penalty for your sins and for my sins. And His shed blood, the Bible tells us that His shed blood is what washes our sins clean. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no forgiveness of sins. So as we come to the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity to teach people. It is the sacrifice of Jesus that paid the penalty for my sins. And it is the blood of Jesus that washes me clean, washes me white as snow. And that when a person trusts Jesus as Lord and Savior and His work on the cross, the Bible tells us that God takes the righteousness of Jesus and He puts it on us. And then He takes our sins, all of them, past, present, and future, and He places them on the shoulders of Jesus on the cross. And there, Jesus' broken body paid the price for my sins. And so we remember and we teach. And then in verse 26, this is a time where we proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the good, glorious, great news that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all of your sins. And if you will accept Him as Lord and Savior, you will have eternity in heaven with God your Creator. But even more than that, you will have a better life today than you can imagine. That it doesn't matter where you are or where you've been, the gospel is that Jesus Christ came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. And your story, like Erica's wonderful, beautiful story of how God healed her and He transformed her. And this is the gospel that we want to proclaim to our community and around the world, that there is no other hope for salvation but only in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he concludes, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and are sick among you, and many sleep. That means many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. The Apostle Paul tells us here that, number one, we need to do some self-examination before we partake of the Lord's Supper. This is a time to remember what Jesus did on the cross, and it is a time to reflect on our relationship with Him. He says that some of you have been coming to the Lord's Supper and you've not even been paying attention to your lifestyle, and it had gotten so bad in some people's lives that they were sick. And it even says that God even took some of them home. God looked down and said, you have done so much damage down there already, I'm not going to let you do any more. I'm bringing you home now. And He tells us that we need to examine ourselves, and that if you examine yourselves and you confess your sins, that there is forgiveness. But if you don't examine yourself and you don't confess your sins, you're going to face chastisement from God. And it's so much better to go and confess beforehand. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the call of the Lord's Supper is for self-examination, to make sure that our relationship with God is clean and our relationship with others is clean, because the next call is to restore the relationships. If there's sin between you and a brother in Christ, that means there's sin between you and God. It is a time for us to make sure that our relationships are clean and right before God, that we must examine ourselves. Have I offended someone? Have I done something wrong to somebody else? I need to make that right, so that I can be right with God. And as we examine our lives and ourselves, we restore our relationships. He tells us in verse 29 to remember the Lord's body. And theologians are divided on what he means by this. And I think they're both probably right, but some people think when he's referencing the Lord's body, he is referencing Jesus' physical body on the cross as it was battered and broken and beaten and bruised for our sins. And that the call of the Lord's Supper is to make sure that we remember that, because that should bring to us humility to make sure that my relationships are right with other people, as I remember that Jesus sacrificed himself to make sure that I could have a right relationship with God. I should be willing to sacrifice of myself to make sure that my relationship is right with God. Others think that when he says the Lord's body, he's switching gears just a little bit and he's referencing the church. Because we know that the church is also called the Lord's body, right? It's mentioned in Romans and in other places. How that when you become a Christian, you are now part of the church. You are now part of the body of Christ, right? And so some think that, well, he's talking about the Lord's body, so that when you come to the Lord's Supper, and as we remember what Jesus did on the cross, we're also thinking about our church and about our brothers and sisters in Christ and about the rest of the body. Am I doing anything that's harmful to the rest of the body? And if so, I need to get that cleaned out so that it doesn't set in like an infection. Now, I don't know which one he means exactly. I kind of lean towards the second one, but I think that's me just kind of wanting it to be that one, because clean relationships in a church is crucial. But they're both right. When we think about the Lord's body at the Lord's Supper, we need to think about what Jesus did on the cross, but we also need to think about his body, the church, to make sure that as a church, we come before God with clean hands and a pure heart. And that's why we stop to remember the Lord's Supper, to keep us unified under the holy name of Jesus. He is the head of the church. He is the Lord of this life. He is the Savior of the world. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection that you and I can go to heaven. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection that you and I can rise above our past life. You and I can rise above our brokenness. You and I can rise above our sins. And we can live an abundant life in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can remember that it starts here with the confession of our sins, the acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask Emery and Randy to come on up. I'm going to sing, "Give Us Clean Hands." And as I sing with heads bowed and eyes closed, it's an opportunity and a time for you to pray and make sure that you are right and clean before God. And after that first verse, gentlemen, I've asked four gentlemen to come and help with the Lord's Supper. Y'all can come up and get ready. But I want to give you all an opportunity to pray and seek God's face, so that when we approach the Lord's Supper, we do so with clean hands and a pure heart. Let us pray. Father, give us clean hands and a pure heart. May we approach the Lord's Supper, remembering what you did for us on the cross. May we approach the Lord's Supper so we can teach others what it means to follow you. May we proclaim the gospel, and may we celebrate in the healing that you have brought to us. You continue with heads bowed and eyes closed.